Former FBI Director James Comey spoke with the Senate Intelligence Committee this morning in a highly anticipated piece of testimony regarding his firing, Russian interference in the 2016 election, and the Trump administration. The testimony lasted for 3 hours before shifting to a classified setting for more in-depth questions from the committee. And the White House has remained all but silent, apart from a statement this afternoon from President Trump's personal attorney. Jessica Sino joins us now. She is an associate dean for academic affairs and associate professor of law at Georgia State University's College of Law. Jessica, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, James Comey's statements were released, his opening statement released yesterday ahead of his testimony, and then the questioning back and forth today. What was your takeaway, your big picture takeaway from what we heard this morning?
So I think the big picture takeaway is that, you know, there are a couple of things. Number one, Comey took notes because he thought that Trump would lie. Number two, Comey actually called Trump and his administration liars. And he confirmed at least that he interpreted Trump's actions as being those that requested him to drop the investigation. But honestly, I think one of the biggest takeaways is that Comey revealed, and this was not released last night in his pre-hearing statement, that he is in fact the person who leaked his own memos. I think that was probably one of the bigger bombshells of the hearing.
And now there were things in this testimony, we've already seen it on Twitter and elsewhere, for kind of both sides to latch onto. Some of the points you just mentioned about pressure over the Flynn investigation and the calls for loyalty, Democrats are seizing on, Republicans seizing on the fact that James Comey did, on a few different instances, tell President Trump he was not personally under investigation, questioning the idea that the president had asked him to stop investigating Michael Flynn. This is not something that's going to end the argument by any means, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, it's probably only going to fuel the flames on both sides. I mean, the thing that we didn't get from these hearings that's going to cause any of the pro-Trump or Trump partisans to reconsider their basic positions is that Comey never came out and said that Trump absolutely pressured me and he's told me affirmatively to drop the investigation. And on top of that, you've got the issue where the president does have the legal authority to order the FBI to shut down an investigation. And the president was pretty ambiguous, at least in the way that we look at Comey's testimony. He didn't affirmatively say, shut this down. And so you don't have the elements of the crime of obstruction of justice, which is what I think a lot of the Democrats would have appreciated coming out of these hearings.
I want to give a listen to some of what came out of the testimony today. In the early part of the testimony, Comey said, in effect, the White House lied about his firing. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say.
Although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. And I am so sorry that the FBI workforce had to hear them, and I'm so sorry that the American people were told them. I worked every day at the FBI to help make that great organization better. And I say help because I did nothing alone at the FBI. There are no indispensable people at the FBI. The organization's great strength is that its values and abilities run deep and wide. The FBI will be fine without me. The FBI's mission will be relentlessly pursued by its people, and that mission is to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution of the United States.
Now, some observers had said James Comey was testifying publicly here in part to argue for his own reputation, but clearly in that statement, he's also concerned about the reputation of the FBI itself, and strong words saying the White House, in effect, he said, lied, plain and simple. What do you make of that?
Well, they're definitely strong words, to say the least. I mean, he directly accused the president of and his aides of outright lies in the wake of this. But I think more you see that Comey was deeply affected by it, and he is a career law enforcement official and carries a lot of pride, not only in his way of conducting investigations and in his credibility, but carries a lot of pride for the FBI as well. And so, you know, that sort of set up why all of this information has now been leaked out, and there's the Comey memos. And so I think it just shows that Comey really did take it as an affront and kind of an assault on the FBI, and did what he did in terms of writing more memos and leaking this information out.
Talking to Jessica Sino from the Georgia State University College of Law, looking at this morning's testimony by James Comey in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Jessica, one of the more striking scenes as recorded by James Comey in the printed release of his of information about the memos he'd taken after meeting with the president was the president's request, demand, some people have said, for loyalty from the director of the FBI. You know, in one way of looking at it, you could say, hey, President Trump is at the top of this organization. Does he have a right to ask for loyalty from people beneath him? Other people saying the FBI is a really special case where you need some kind of distance. What did you make reading that exchange?
Well, and I think that Comey prefers that the FBI is something where they're independent. Their structure is meant to have a barrier between the president and the work that they do. And historically, it's been that way. That's why we have an FBI director who is appointed for 10-year terms, as opposed to really serving necessarily at the pleasure of the president for 4 years or 8 years, whatever it may be. Now, there are, of course, pundits out there who are saying that Trump didn't really understand. You know, he's new to being a president. I believe Paul Ryan certainly came to Trump's defense on that. But honestly, at this point in the game, you would think that by the time they've gone through the transition period, Trump is supposed to be getting briefed on the functionalities of the various branches of government and what he can and cannot do. It's what we call ethics training. Which back in the early days of the Trump administration's transition, they didn't really participate in.
Now, over the last few months, there have been a lot of major characters at the center of this story, including former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, allegations that he'd met with Russian officials, then misinformed, lied to Vice President Mike Pence about those meetings. Apparently, an investigation into Flynn, Comey wrote in a memo after meeting with President Trump that President Trump said that he hoped Comey would let go of that investigation. I want to give another listen to now. He's being pressed on that part of the testimony by Senator Jim Risch, Republican from Idaho. Here's some of that exchange.
There's 28 words there that are in quotes, and it says, quote, I hope, this is the president speaking, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Now, those are his exact words. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you wrote them here and you put them in quotes?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. He did not direct you to let it go?
Not in his words, no.
He did not order you to let it go?
Again, those words are not an order.
No. He said, I hope. Now, like me, you probably did hundreds of cases, maybe thousands of cases, charging people with criminal offenses. And of course, you have knowledge of the thousands of cases out there that where people have been charged. Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice, or for that matter, any other criminal offense, where this they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. And the reason I keep saying his words is I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the President of the United States with me alone saying, I hope this. I took it as this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
And that's going to be a lot of the argument, I think, at this point. What do you see in that exchange about whether I hope, Jessica, means, in effect, do this for me?
Well, sure. And so keep in mind that Senator Rich from Idaho, fellow prosecutor, so is James Comey. And so it was sort of like this exchange between one prosecutor to another saying, come on, you can't really make a case out of that. And to a certain extent, he's right. I mean, Senator Rich stressed that Trump had said he hoped that Flynn would be let go, but he never specifically ordered Comey to take that course of action. Now, of course, he basically tried to lead Comey down the road of saying that Trump had not committed obstruction of justice, but Comey wasn't going to go there. He's a skilled prosecutor as much as Rich is. And I think that, you know, kind of back and forth, and there is this nebulous, he hoped that the investigation would go away, but is that something that is intent for a prosecution of obstruction of justice? It's just enough to not get there. At the end of the day, that's not going to set up the elements to prove an obstruction of justice charge. Now, certainly pushing in that direction and, you know, clearing out a room and cornering Comey by himself, all of those can kind of contribute to that intent, but we're not going to see a prosecution of the president of the United States based on these facts.
Jessica Sino is with us now to talk about former FBI Director James Comey's testimony today in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. She's an Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor of Law at Georgia State University's College of Law. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you watch Comey's testimony today? Was it must-see TV for you? What did you think? Do you think we learned anything from the testimony? Was it anticlimactic? What would you like to know that we didn't learn today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now about former FBI Director James Comey's testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee this morning. Jessica Sino is with us now to talk about that testimony and what it could mean for the Trump administration, the investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 presidential election, and more. She's Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Associate Professor of Law at Georgia State University. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Did you watch? Did you listen? Did you read the preview part of the testimony? What did you think? Does it push the case one way or another in your mind? What do you want to see happen next? What do you wish had come out of this hearing? What do you want to know that we don't? 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Rohini starts us off in Milwaukee. Rohini, hi.
Hi.
What did you think?
I just heard Jessica speak, and I feel I maybe I'm missing something because, yes, I hope is not a directive, and you know it might not lead to an obstruction of justice charge. But there was a clearly implied threat behind the words, which was, you know, the unsaid threat was, I hope you take this direction, because if you don't, I will need to take some steps, and he did. You know, and clearly the firing was a direct result of Comey not taking those words as a direction. So I'm failing to see why that connection is not being made. Basically.
Rohini, thanks for the call. And Democrats are definitely saying this. We had the ask for loyalty, the I hope the Flynn investigation can be dialed down in effect, and then eventually the firing of Comey when those things didn't happen. Is that in tandem, I guess, Jessica, something that a prosecutor say might take more seriously?
So, I mean, a prosecutor could look at the facts and possibly, you know, establish what we call, a prima facie case of obstruction of justice, meaning is it more probably, you know, probable than not that Trump was doing this? But you have to take it into the bigger picture of, first of all, the practical reality is that it's generally believed you can't indict a sitting president because that's going to paralyze the government. Now, what it could, in fact, lead to, however, is a really good case for impeachment. And that is different from obstruction of justice charges, because impeachment is partially a political process. It's partially a judicial process. And so obstruction of justice is an impeachable offense. I mean, Bill Clinton, 1998, Richard Nixon, 1974, they were accused of obstruction of justice. And so the question then becomes, well, will the House of Representatives taking what they have here and under their subjective lens, does this amount to an obstruction of justice such that they would bring articles of impeachment against Trump? I actually think that's more likely than a criminal charge, simply because the criminal charges that would be brought against Trump, it's an uphill battle. You would have to prove intent, which is still difficult, even with all of the surrounding facts. And you've got a climate, a political climate, where indicting a president is highly unlikely to happen.
There are, in theory at least, investigations going around on of people associated with the president, either in his campaign or in his administration. Nothing really came out of the Comey testimony, I think, directly relevant to that. But is that a possibility, if not of an indictment of the president himself?
I actually think, you know, Jeff Sessions kind of had a bad day in terms of this testimony. I mean, Comey said that Sessions' involvement in the Russia probe was problematic and that he wouldn't share the reason behind the Sessions recusal because he can't talk about it in an open setting. He was responding to a question about that. And so I think really that's where, you know, you're running into trouble with seeing other associates of Trump who are within the snares of this investigation. And even Comey did say that, you know, he wouldn't comment on whether Trump colluded with the Russians, and again, use that as a, I shouldn't answer this in an open setting. So there are still some unclear, unknown facts out there that we don't know because this was a public hearing and Comey would prefer that those come out in a closed session of the Senate.
Now, President Trump did not tweet during this event, as people thought he might. One of his sons did, I believe. The most official response, Mark Cassowitz, a personal attorney, not part of the White House staff, as I understand it, to President Trump. Among other things, he said that James Comey had attacked the president's credibility by leaking that information, as you mentioned earlier. Here's a listen to Mr. Cassowitz.
Today, Mr. Comey admitted that he leaked to friends of his purported memos of those privileged communications, one of which he testified was classified. Mr. Comey also testified that immediately after he was terminated, he authorized his friends to leak the contents of those memos to the press in order to, in Mr. Comey's words, quote, prompt the appointment of a special counsel, close quote.
So a response by attacking the leaks here, is this something that could get James Comey in trouble, having not just taken these memos, but made their content known to the public via a friend?
So I certainly think it's a unique situation, but at the same time, we're not talking about anything that was classified or confidential information. And so it's out there. Comey leaked it. He admitted to leaking it. I don't think he's really going to be in trouble for that, other than he's going to be on the receiving end of either a statement from the Trump administration or a midnight Twitter rant from the president at some point. So, you know, I think he's fine. It just was highly unusual that the director of the FBI outed himself as the source of the leaks and said he did so in order to get the special counsel involved to investigate the Russia matter.
Talking to Jessica Sino from the Georgia State University College of Law, looking at this morning's testimony by former FBI Director James Comey. Back to your calls now. Anne is with us in Cobb. Anne, hi.
Hi. My question is, I did listen to the hearing. I became pretty confused when John McCain started questioning Comey. I don't know if anybody else thought he seemed confused. He kept going back and forth with about Hillary Clinton and the email.
And I will say you are not alone. A lot of people were wondering about that. Actually, Senator McCain issued a press release later trying to clarify, and he said something like he shouldn't have stayed up so late the night before watching a Diamondback game, Arizona Diamondbacks. Jessica, he was trying to, connect, compare and contrast the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails and the announcement that there wouldn't be charges back last year now and this current, apparently, ongoing investigation.
Yeah, so McCain, I think his questions just completely confused everybody, and it was entirely incoherent. I mean, he referred to President Comey, and he looked frustrated with Comey's answers. But I think kind of what he was trying to do was sort of throw Comey a little bit of a life preserver of, well, he had to talk about the Clinton emails and there were issues there. And so now he's there to talk about what went on with Trump. And it was, I don't know if it was necessarily to make it look more like Comey was a bipartisan kind of guy, or if it was just McCain really was up too late or completely had no idea what he was going to be asking Comey.
Thanks a lot for that call. As we start to wrap up, Jessica, a lot of those questions, as we've mentioned, were not unanswerable, James Comey said, in the public setting. Briefly, what do you wish we knew that we didn't get out of this hearing?
Well, I think, you know, the big questions are, what does Comey know about the exact nature of, you know, what happened with the Russian contacts and how far does it go and who does it spread to? And we're not going to get that information. I mean, that is part of now what the special counsel is doing. And so that investigation is going to probably go on for quite a long time. I don't think, you know, Trump has necessarily done himself any favors. I know his team was celebrating last night that Comey didn't have anything earth shattering on that. Oh, we've got the smoking gun for obstruction of justice. But at the same time, all of the statements that have been coming out since then from the Trump team really haven't, hit home or made Trump look like he is an innocent player in all of this.
We'll leave that there for now. Thanks to Jessica Sino, Associate Dean for Academic Affairs, Associate Professor of Law at Georgia State University's College of Law. You can still share your thoughts on this morning's testimony over on the Central Time Facebook page. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, Senator Tammy Baldwin joins the show for a look at her new legislation aimed at limiting big increases in prescription drug costs. And on a sweet edition of Food Friday, some great desserts made with fresh seasonal ingredients. That's tomorrow on Central Time.